is All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. I continue to read my way through the American Library Association Notable Books list, which is how I came across the nonfiction book, Evicted, Poverty and Profit in the American City, by Matthew Desmond. Basically, Desmond explores how the system of housing poor people in America doesn't work. He follows five tenants and two landlords in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in 2008 and 2009 to demonstrate how evictions keep poor people from establishing the stability that allows individuals and families to do better. In the first part of the book, each renter finds a place. In the middle, for a variety of reasons, evictions happen to each person, and many associated losses result. Then in the third section, each renter finds a new place to live. A paradox of this book is that the subject is inherently depressing and distressing, and yet I found the book readable and looked forward to returning to it. The secret is Desmond's strong storytelling. For the most part, the book describes what happens to people, what they say, and what they do. From time to time, Desmond steps in as an unseen, unnamed narrator to provide background or make connections that give context to the action. The renters in this book don't live in public housing, and they don't get vouchers. Due usually to court convictions or previous evictions, they don't qualify for those programs. Typically, their monthly rent takes about 80% of their income. Desmond notes that African Americans are more likely to be evicted than white people, and women are also represented disproportionately. The presence of children also increases the likelihood of eviction. Desmond opens the book with a story of how a woman named Arlene lost her apartment after her two sons threw a snowball at a man's car. The man got out, chased them home, and then kicked in their door. They were evicted. Properties can be considered nuisance properties if there are excess police calls. Later in the book, Arlene has found a nice place to live. Here is how Desmond describes that. She enrolled the boys in new schools. She got her stuff out of storage and hung pictures on the wall. A neighbor gave her a couch. Arlene's old apartment on 13th Street was usually messy because cleaning didn't do it much good, what with its cracked windows, ravaged carpet, and broken bathroom. But this was a nice place. It could look respectable if Arlene kept it nice. She did. Over the sink, she wrote a little note to her son. If you don't clean up after yourself, we are going to have problems. On the counter, she set out a candle for St. Jude, patron saint of difficult cases. When people saw Arlene's apartment, they would say, "Your house is so pretty." Some even asked if they could move in. Arlene would feel proud and say no. But then, her son has a meltdown at school following a death in the family. He kicks his teacher in the shin and runs home. A police officer tracks him down there. When the landlord learns of that police visit, he tells Arlene they must go. Matthew Desmond, a Harvard professor and recipient of a MacArthur Genius Grant, won the 2017 Pulitzer Prize in nonfiction for this book. He succeeds at the basic task of nonfiction narrative. He tells stories with such a strong thread that it remains unbroken even as he weaves in substantial background information. The Pulitzer Prize website describes this book as an exposé. I think of an exposé as writing that reveals something shocking or scandalous, and this situation with evictions and the misery and perpetual poverty that follow is reasonably considered shocking and scandalous. But I'm not sure that Desmond is truly revealing something here. This happens out in the open, right in front of us, and we can see it if we only open our eyes to it. Desmond also succeeds in writing of tenants, landlords, and so many associated people, from judges to lawyers to teachers to neighbors, without judgment. To my mind, this allows him to build up a description of the infrastructure behind all of these evictions. There is a system at work here, incorporating these tenants who do not qualify for government or other housing help, and landlords who cater to them. Landlords who are engaging in what might be considered classic American capitalism. An aspect of the tenants' lives is how thoroughly their lives are intertwined with friends and family. Desmond notes how people stay with each other while waiting to find a new place, how there are frequent requests to borrow money and willingness to lend, how friendships can build quickly when the relationship may allow rent or childcare to be shared, and how the tenants in the book carefully manage their requests of family members who are better off financially. This book joins efforts such as Bridges Out of Poverty to show middle-class readers what life is like for people who chronically struggle to make ends meet, in this case, whose struggle includes financial recovery after eviction. In this way, it's been compared as well to How the Other Half Lives by Jacob Riis, a photojournalist look at urban tenements in the 1880s. In an epilogue, Desmond explores what it would take to create essentially a voucher program that would be intended for all low-income renters, a universal voucher program. He writes, "There are two freedoms at odds with each other, the freedom to profit from rents and the freedom to live in a safe and affordable home. There is a way we can rebalance these two freedoms by significantly expanding our housing voucher program so that all low-income families could benefit from it. What we need most is a housing program for the unlucky majority, the millions of poor families struggling unassisted in the private market, that promotes the values most of us support: security, fairness, and equal opportunity." In the epilogue, Desmond also explores whether the broad group of inner-city landlords is exploiting the situation of the poor. I was especially interested in a final section called About This Book, where Desmond describes how he lived, for a time, in the trailer park he includes in this book, and how he also lived for a time in a boarding house that's also described here. He talks about how he got to know people and become accepted by them, got them to reveal their complex lives. If I were asked to suggest how this could be a stronger book, I'd wonder if he could have included himself more thoroughly into the full story, less of an unseen observer and more of an engaged participant. Actually, Desmond addresses this in that final section. He notes that many ethnographers insert themselves into the stories they tell about their subjects, and that often the observer becomes the true subject of the book instead of the people being observed. He wished to avoid that outcome. And yet, clearly, he found himself changed by these friendships and relationships. In fact, this is his final paragraph. "The harder feat for any field worker is not getting in, it's leaving. And the more difficult ethical dilemma is not how to respond when asked to help, but how to respond when you are given so much. I have been blessed by countless acts of generosity from the people I met in Milwaukee. Each one reminds me how gracefully they refuse to be reduced to their hardships. Poverty has not prevailed against their deep humanity." I easily recommend this book to people who want to have a more sophisticated sense of how our systems, especially the housing system, impact poor people. But I'll be recommending it more generally than that. Desmond has told these stories well, and they're interesting on their own. While readers may come to a different conclusion about how to solve this situation, I anticipate that they will still find the stories themselves compelling. The book is Evicted: Poverty and Profit in the American City by Matthew Desmond. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online. Visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.